Please stand to hear the word of God this morning, reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Starting in verse 31. This is the word of God. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Thus far the word of God. May he bless it to us all. You may be seated. As Americans, we are people who value freedom. As Christians, we should value freedom even more than anyone else, for we understand the nature and the character and the source of true freedom. So it is fitting on this Lord's Day, the nearest to our 4th of July Independence Day celebration, to praise and exalt our great and gracious Lord for the gift of freedom which he has given to us. And therefore, I've selected this text and will be focusing especially on Jesus' words in verses 32 and 36. Verse 32, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now, as always, to use this passage faithfully, we must understand it in its context, which is very different in many ways from our context today, but in other important underlying ways, our context is very similar to theirs. So then, the context in Jesus' day, the Jews, the covenanted people of God, are once again in bondage to a Gentile nation more powerful than they, that is, Rome. The Jews are in that condition because of their sins. And their sins come forth from their sinful hearts, which are sinful by nature due to the fall of Adam, the first man. Among the Jewish leaders, some that in those days taught in effect that if they repent and do what is right, God will show them grace, his undeserved favor, and will free them from their Roman overlords, if. Other Jewish leaders advocated becoming like the Romans, only and insofar as it would be necessary to get along with them to preserve their nation. Still, other Jewish teachers advocated violent revolution to drive out the Romans and to establish Israel as a Roman-style Jewish empire over all the other nations. Another group, not directly mentioned by the Gospels, but known through archaeology, were the Essenes, who simply dropped out and tried to be separate and uninvolved. But all four Gospels present Jesus as the eternal Son of God, who has become man, who is God's anointed King. That's what Messiah and Christ, that's what that word means, who has come into the world to establish God's everlasting kingdom in fulfillment of God's original plan for mankind in the world. He does this by his preaching and teaching and by his deeds and the power of the Holy Spirit as they're displayed in the gospel. In the specific context of this passage, Jesus is responding to a question from the people. "Who are you?" Verse 25. And this is what Jesus said to them. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, And I declare to you, I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Verse 25-29. In verse 30, John recorded that as Jesus was saying these things, many believed in him. So it seems clear that the Jews of Jesus' day were thinking of freedom in terms of independence from Rome. We can connect with them on that since we celebrate every 4th of July our nation's independence from the rule of Great Britain, and along with that, our freedom from the rule of any other nation. But here we must talk about the meaning of true freedom. We can sympathize with the Jews for thinking of freedom primarily in terms of independence from Rome, since the overbearing rule of the Romans was a daily reality to them. So Jesus explained to them that it is the truth that makes them free, and that he, the Son of God, has come to make them free. Now, in the translation that I read from, which is the ESV, Jesus is quoted as saying, the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you read the older translations, like the Geneva Bible, the King James Bible, the American Standard 1901, and translations that follow that very literal approach to translation, they all say the truth will make you free. And Jesus will make you free. There's a significance in the difference there. I think the modern translations, being translated by modern people, and the influences of modern thinking inescapably impinging upon us, tend to think of people as inherently lovers of freedom, who have been taken captive, who long to be free. That's not the picture that the Bible presents. The Bible presents the state of mankind since the fall as constitutionally enslaved, constitutionally slaves in their hearts. They don't even know what freedom is. This is why you see the children of Israel in the desert constantly wanting to go back into bondage. No, it's not that people just inherently want to be free. As a pastor I know once said, sinful men who do not know Jesus Christ kiss the chains that bind them as slaves. No, human beings must be made free. That's what Jesus does. That's what he does through the truth. The Greek word for freedom used by Jesus in these pronouncements is eleutheros. It means simply freedom, but as always, it is context that helps us to understand the meaning of a word. In verse 32, the meaning of freedom is found in knowing and continuing in the truth as disciples of Jesus. That's the context for understanding the nature and character and source of freedom. It is found in knowing the truth and being and following Jesus as disciples. Being disciples, following him. In verse 36, the meaning of freedom is found in terms of Jesus himself making us free. You see, the truth is incarnate, is embodied in Jesus. It's not that we just hear some truth and we cognitively understand and embrace that truth and follow Jesus in terms of that truth, those teachings. It is that. It's not less than that, but it is more than that. It is following Jesus, who is the truth. That's why, although far more can be said about freedom, even in this passage, I'm focusing in the space of one sermon on those two statements of Jesus. And so, dear brothers and sisters, whatever else you get from this sermon, get this. Don't miss this. Take a hold of this. That is, that it is Jesus who makes us free. And we grow in the knowledge, in the experience of freedom as we keep following Jesus. The Jews should have understood this from their scriptures. But we, looking back from the standpoint of the New Testament scriptures called the Old Testament, for those scriptures pointed to Jesus. Jesus had just rebuked the Jewish teachers in John chapter 5. He said, "You say that you follow Moses, but if you believe Moses, you would believe in me because he wrote of me." Those scriptures pointed forward to Jesus and to the freedom with which Jesus makes us free. Think back to the days of Moses. People of Israel in those times were in bondage to the most powerful king in the world of that day, the Pharaoh of Egypt. They were in bondage to Egypt because they were in bondage to their own sins. And they were utterly powerless to free themselves from their sins or from Pharaoh. Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the God of sheer sovereign grace, sovereignly and graciously delivered them from slavery in Egypt using 80-year-old powerless Moses to bring his word of deliverance to them and his word of judgment to the enslaving Pharaoh. Through God's word and through the sign of the Passover lamb, which pointed forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, and by his spirit revealed in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, Yahweh judged Egypt and freed his people from slavery through the Passover and through the Red Sea. And then God, through Moses, led them to the mountain. Moses went up to the top of the mountain to receive Yahweh's laws from heaven for life on earth. So first the Lord freed them, and then he taught them the way of freedom. The law says, Exodus 20, verse 1, 3, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." And then the other 9 of the 10 words. The first thing, and living in freedom, is exclusive devotion and worship of the Lord who makes you free. If Israel turned back to the gods of Egypt or turned to the gods of the land to whom the Lord was bringing them, they would go right back into bondage. And so with the rest of the commands of Yahweh. They're the way of life of those who have been freed by the sovereign grace of the covenant God. They are the way of truth, of love, and of freedom. Yahweh had freed them, and he had signified to them, he had freed them from bondage to Pharaoh, and he had signified to them that freedom from sin would come through the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, which signified Jesus. Sadly, throughout their history, Israel kept breaking God's law and departing from the way of freedom back into bondage. But now, God himself has come to liberate his people, not only from slavery to men, but praise and glory to God, from slavery to sin. What God signified in the Passover, God has done. God has fulfilled in Jesus, the Spirit-anointed Son of God, the King, the Lamb of God. He frees us from sin, and having freed us from sin, he frees us from the pharaohs of the world, ancient and modern, for bondage to sin is the source of bondage to sinful men. The righteous man, Jesus the Christ, has freed us by his life, death, and resurrection, his ascension and enthronement. That's the gospel. That's the gospel truth that makes you free. The truth, dear brothers and sisters, makes you free. The truth is embodied in Jesus Christ, God incarnate as man. Jesus makes you free. And now, our Redeemer King has also given to us His Spirit to enable and empower us to walk in the truth, which is the way of freedom, the path of following Jesus, the one who freed us and keeps us free as we learn His way, the way of truth and love and grace and righteousness. You see then, dear brothers and sisters, that it is Christ through the gospel who liberates men and women and children in their hearts from sin. And from Satan, who used sin to enslave us, and from death, which is the destruction wrought by sin. Jesus Christ, our liberator, has saved us from sin. Satan has no claim on us. Death has been swallowed up in the victory of Jesus' resurrection. And just as Jesus has been raised, so you and I shall be raised, so that as He is, so we shall be with Him. And in Him, all praise and glory to God. Jesus has done it. The Son, the embodiment of the truth, makes you and me free. Dear brothers and sisters, celebrate it. Proclaim it. The Christians among our founding fathers had this understanding of freedom. They had no confidence in the flesh. They knew that without Jesus, simply overthrowing the tyranny of King George III would only result in another form of bondage to men. So they devised a form of government that justified righteous rule as the upholding and maintaining the freedom which God alone gives to men. The God-given inalienable rights spoken of in our Declaration of Independence. And at the same time, they included checks and balances to counter the tyrannical tendencies that accompany the use of political power. That is why the Constitution prescribes three branches of government to hold one another in check. But our founders, the Christians among our founders, not all of them were Christians, I do believe that most of them were, they also knew that no human government can either grant or maintain freedom. It's not possible. They declared that they had erected a form of government for a Christian people. They knew that only Christ can free men from sin. And only Christ can keep men free. And they knew that that's the church's calling and mission, to proclaim the gospel that liberates the human heart from bondage to sin into the glorious freedom of Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, never look for salvation from the government. Never look for freedom from the government. It can't grant it. It can't sustain it. Only Jesus Christ can grant it and sustain it. That means you and I, dear brothers and sisters, as members of the one body of Christ, are, in a very real sense, the guardians of freedom. Freedom comes from Christ through the gospel. Therefore, let us indeed thank our Lord for the freedom which He has given to us and for the freedom that He has given to our nation. But let us renew our commitment this day to proclaim the gospel that makes people free. All praise and glory to God. Let's respond to these applications of the word by offering ourselves and our gifts in the service of our great liberator and Lord Jesus Christ.